We spent a week,
2 weeks ago, talking about what? Justification, being made declared not guilty before the Lord, for faith, and we're trusting Jesus to save us. Trusting in Him alone, not our works, just Jesus. Then we're called to sanctification. And it's interesting because we learned about active and passive sanctification. Bible teaches both. But we thought it'd be really cool if we cling to which one? Active. Progressive sanctification. Yeah, for sure. And today is glorification. So today's glorification. This is the final work and act in this redeeming process of Christ for us. Our best days are ahead. So profound, so beautifully. But first, Jesus, again, you open our eyes. You change us. Because if we stay the same, and no more faith comes to the forefront of our life and hearts, we won't be as pleasing to you. And we want to be pleasing to you. And that comes by receiving faith, by hearing your word, that changes things. Our personal lives, our families, our relatives, our neighbors. So Jesus, unleash your spirit on us that we will leave forever changed in your precious name. Amen. Hey, a couple cartoons to see if you'll laugh before we start. And just thought I'd phrase it like that to try to let you know the sense of expectancy. Because sometimes it's not. First Covenant Church, Sunday worship, 10 a.m. Don't give up. Moses was what's a basket case?
I like it.
Hey, yeah. Thanks. All right, we don't do this at this church. Someone is going to think you're being robbed. We do this at this church. Absolutely. Yeah. If we ever stifle you in your worship and praise and adoration of Jesus, shame on us. Shame on us. So anyway, that's an okay thing to do. Hey, so just a couple questions. Get us going here. When Christ redeemed us as human beings, did He only redeem our soul in justification, sanctification, and especially in glorification? Did He only redeem our soul in glorification? Yes or no? Isn't it great when we're just together and you get the right answer all the time and we just keep going on? Always the case with New Hope. Our whole body is going to be changed. What does changed mean? We'll have to talk about that. How about this? When Christ's final redemption step, when will Christ's redemption step of you and me be completed? Now, don't give me the exact time. We're going to go into that in 1 Thessalonians. But what are going to be the signs? What are going to be the signs of that? Yeah, well, went into 1 Thessalonians, and that's okay. But that's because that's where my brain goes, too. It's kind of a trick question, but thank you. Yeah, you are correct. But how about this? By the way, that was the body I forgot to show you from the first couple notes here. But no mas effect from the fall. That means no more, right, in Spanish? Ah, good. Love when I get that right. When I get it wrong, I'm really embarrassed. So no more effects from the fall. Bodies live forever. Perfectly. No sickness. That's why we see friends and family who are sick. Say, God, restore them on this earth. Because you healed today and there's healing in the atonement. Amen. Yeah. Isaiah 53 verse 4 tells us that. Because that verse was articulated in Matthew 8:17 after a physical healing took place. So we know he heals today, but what was that, a Russ Taff song? But the ultimate healing is to be home free with Jesus. With Jesus in a glorified state. The ultimate healing. No Mass Effect from the fall. Our bodies will be made perfect. Now, here's the weird part. I tried to think about showing you a picture of my body being made perfect, and you're like, no, don't even go there. So I put a picture together of what I thought I probably looked like years ago. And remember, memories are malleable. Remember that, okay? So just take this and say, okay, Pastor, yeah, what time's your next dose of medication? I can think what I want for the time, unless somebody comes and says, no, you know, we got to talk. Okay, so here we go. So this is what I thought. No more effects from the fall and our bodies be made perfect. So I think that's Ryan Gosling and Barbie. So I could be off. Who knows? Don't tell me if I am, because my wife will make it totally clear that, yeah, I'm off. But anyway, let's go on. That's just going to be silly. Hey, what are we talking about today? My systematic theology professor, Dr. Wayne Grudem, he writes glorification. It will happen when Christ returns and raises from the dead the bodies of all believers for all time who have died and reunites them with our souls, or with their souls, excuse me, and changes the bodies of all believers who remain alive, thereby giving all believers at the same time perfect resurrection bodies like his own. Like his own. It's like, no. This is, you know how much back pain I have? There's not going to be any more back pain. So we just kind of put it in perspective here. That's just quite a loaded passage. Take a second and just review back through it. Can't make you do that, but while I'm taking a drink, it'd be a bless you. Good use of time. Okay, good. Okay, so as we go further here, Christ returns. What's the passage that talks about Christ returns? I heard it right here. 1 Thessalonians. Yeah. Now, I'm going to hold to a view, and we start talking about end times next week. Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo! Just watch the world news, and you go, I think we're a lot closer to end times. I think we are. Anyway, this is before the tribulation. Christ returns for his bride. And we're his bride. But we do not want you to be uninformed. So Paul's writing to the Thessalonian church, and he writes to them so intricately and convincingly that they think Jesus is coming back right then and there. They start changing the ways that they do things as a church because of Paul's convincing argument. It's really cool. Imagine if we could get into that place where we just know. We just know he's coming back, and it could be today. So 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, we abide in him so that when he comes back, we can stand boldly and confidently before him and not shy away at his coming. Amen? Yeah, amen. It's good. Our best days are ahead. Let's live it like it's today. But Jesus didn't come back right away. We're still waiting for him to come back. And so, Paul writes a letter to this church, and part of it is just, what about them believers that fell asleep? He didn't say die, because die would have meant eternal gloom and separation. Asleep is the way that you died, but you're going to go to glory. You're going to go to heaven. Believers, who are among us, who have died and who die. What happens to them? They want to know. So that's what's being said here. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. So when someone dies, right now, body goes in the ground, their soul departs to go be with Jesus. And we know that from the tribulation saints, which we're going to come up and talk about in a little bit. And we'll see about those souls and what about those souls and what happens and what happens, what happened with them. So anyway, for since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. So those souls that are with Jesus, to be absent from the body. If you die today, to be absent from the body is present with Christ. Your soul goes to be with Christ. And you're aware. You've got cognition. Oh, that's a big statement. Oh, just stay tuned. Stay tuned and we'll see. You go, I vehemently disagree. Okay, well, agree to disagree. We're just teaching the word today. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. So when Jesus comes back to rapture his bride, okay, the ones who are dead, coming back as souls, dead in Christ will rise first. So it's like, oh, I feel so bad. Bernice, my grandmother who raised me, she's going to get left out. No, she'll be first. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, wow, if I'm alive, when Jesus returns, Grandma Bernice is going to be raised first, caught up, soul reunited with body. It's like, whoa, this is a good deal. What did I hear? Great deal. Who said great deal? Yeah, you just keep chiming out and we'll tag team this and I'll be the better for it. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of a trumpet of God. Doo, doo, doo! Archangel. Gosh, there's going to be an archangel involved too. This is kind of cool. And with sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, let's encourage one another with these words. So these are to people in Christ, and it lets them know what's coming. So when Jesus comes back, the trumpet's going to sound. Doo, doo, doo. And then we're going to go, whoa, 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 whoa. That's the trumpet we're waiting for. And then our unbelieving friends will be, I don't hear a trumpet. You know, and it's going to go, I hear it, I hear it. I don't hear anything. You're going to clear out your ears. You know, and it's just like, you know, go back and forth, but be caught up, taken out. It's like, yeah, this is really awesome. God, you have an amazing plan. That could happen any time. That could happen any time. Hey, for these Christians, what kind of body are they getting? The hint is Jesus. The hint is Jesus. What kind of body are they getting? Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. 1 Corinthians 15:51-52. So our bodies will be changed. Say, not Grandpa Elmer. He got cremated. Or you know, not Grandma Jen. No, 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 no. She was in, no. It doesn't matter what condition they're in. Their creator is going to put them back together. In their body. In their actual body. And we're going to talk about how it's probably a youthful body. I'll just make kind of a surmised conjecture about that in a few moments. But this is cool. Imperishable, not to spoil. Remember in 1 Peter chapter 1? After you've suffered for Christ for a while, is anybody here suffering for Christ? I hope so, because at the very end, my scripture passage in Romans chapter 8 says that we are to suffer for Christ. For years, it was like anything my wife and I could do to not suffer for Christ, not suffer for anything, because we just wanted, Lord, may there be no trials today. May there be nothing that comes up that stresses us out. Oh, okay, Don and Liz, you mean you don't want to grow. You don't want to have anything that's going to move you forward to more faith in me.
Well, just this week, it's been stressful.
You know what I'm saying? You go back and forth. But it's through trials. It's through trials that we endure and we develop this persevering. And then comes a maturity and a completeness in Christ. We've got it so backwards. That's why, thank you for rough times. We are becoming more like you as a family, as a community, when people invite us in. Yeah, very cool here. One second. Technical difficulties, but maybe not for long. Oh, thank you. Gosh, let's give it up for the tech team. Simon and Jonathan. Oh no, Seth and Jonathan. My bad. The top of the hair just gave me a quick Simon look. Thank you, buddy. Thank you. That might be a hint from you guys to like, hey, you can go a little faster through these slides. Don't you know that? Yeah. Hey, our bodies will be like his resurrection body. Philippians 3:21. The Lord Jesus Christ, he will transform the body of your humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. So, Let's think about Jesus' resurrected body. You know what it had markings of? Here's what it had markings of. How he died. And people could see that. Who better than to see Christ himself? Do you like the pictures where the holes, like in Hollywood, are right here? Oh, yeah. That wouldn't have worked on the cross. But anyway, yeah, right, good. So we'll be like Jesus, his body. Hey, what is the day? Why is the day we're glorified going to be such a great victory? Okay, I'll give you a hint. Yeah, that was too much of a hint. The last enemy will be destroyed. What was this? I just love it when people know the answers ahead of time. Yeah. The last enemy will be destroyed. Sean, you nailed it. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, there may be pain today, but our best days are ahead. In Christ, we have hope in that. And he won't leave us as orphans. He won't leave us abandoned. He promises. And when we're tempted, he'll give us a way out. I mean, all these things are in Scripture. They're in the Scripture. When the naughty kids get set back, no words. You just pray for them as they walk by, because I think they're doing laps. Just kidding. That's trying to break it up a little bit. Okay, here we go. Hey, what death will we be rescued from? What death will we be rescued from? How about Adam, sin of Adam. Remember, through Adam's sin, death spread to all men and womankind. Romans 5:12. Remember that? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. That's the death we'll be rescued from. And so we need to have that. We need to have that down. Hey, is it possible that our resurrection bodies will have characteristics of youth? I think so, and this is why. I like when we interact back and forth. I like that. That's really enjoyable. When we grow older, our bodies are subject to corruption. Okay? I mean, you just look, the word corruption, if we take it out, I mean, just, you'll see pictures of me. I mean, you probably won't unless I bring them, and there's no reason for me to bring them. But you'll see, oh, well, at 20, he had hair. And, you know, at 20, he didn't have all those wrinkles and, you know, all these other things that gravity and just the weight of sin comes in. So if you look at Galatians 6:8, for he who sows to his flesh will of flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So the longer I sow corruption, the more effects of sin that I possess. The more it takes a toll on my body. And you see me over a course of time and you go, wow, he's got some tough miles put on. You know, and that doesn't be, it could be from just working outside all of our life. It could be a lot of different reasons. So the thought is, resurrection bodies, characteristics of youth, is it would be the non-corrupted body. So I would look much better. Okay, that's what we surmise. I would look much better there. Say much better. Yeah, much better is good. Absolutely. Hey, buckle up. Last two slides here. Buckle up. I guess that means that these are the really important slides that I think are really cool. This is the glorified body. The glorified body that I'm going to make a case for in the weeks to come, that we will enter back when Christ comes back after the tribulation with his army and reigns from earth for 1,000 years, called the 1,000-year millennial reign. I'm going to make a case that these bodies are going to have different features and qualities about them, and we'll have certain responsibilities in the millennial kingdom. But it won't be new heaven, new earth come down. And we've got like 6 passages to study to say that there's this place in time that's not the earth that you live on, but it's not Revelation 21, new heaven, new earth come down yet. And that's 1,000 years in our glorified bodies. Oh, we gotta learn more. We need more. But buckle up, here we go. Souls crying out, given white robes. Okay. We're going to talk about tribulation saints. Say tribulation saints. Tribulation. Yeah. So you know that there are people that come to Christ in the tribulation. Lot of death. Lot of destruction. Lot of, oh my goodness, I don't want to be there. you won't either. However, if for some reason we were there. Revelation 3:10 seems to say that he'll preserve us in. But the overwhelming evidence says that we're not going to go through it. That will be my case. That will be what I will present. But anyway, these tribulation saints, they come to find Christ in the tribulation. And guess what the reward is for finding Christ in the tribulation? Unlike now, guess those, How about those people that are in our family that we're like, ah, we've got a month or a year to witness to them. They're not ready for Christ. Leave them alone. Well, if they get ushered into the tribulation, okay, don't die before, they get ushered in, it's going to be hard. Because what happens is the people who find Christ in the tribulation, they get killed. They become martyrs for their faith. So think about what family do you have that doesn't know Christ? Oh, a lot of people. When we're raptured, taken out, a lot of people go, you know, I think they were right about this being taken out thing. And then they want to start studying possibly, but maybe not. There'll be hardened souls, hardened people that still won't have a clue or desire a clue. But these tribulation saints, they got martyred for their faith. Their souls were taken right to heaven to be with Christ, absent from the body, present with Christ. This is what the souls are doing around a table with Jesus. Okay, take a look at it. I let you read it yourself, and then I ask you a question. The Apostle John, he writes, when he opened the fifth seal, okay, so these saints died for their faith, okay, in the tribulation. It's still to come. 7 years, still to come, okay? Their souls were given what? A white robe, meaning that there's some form of a body even there before they come back with Christ to reunite with their body, if that makes sense. That makes sense? Okay. What is it? What is it that we learn about these saints? What characteristic do these saints have that you go, oh, that's interesting. They've got clearly something that we will also probably possess in heaven. What do they have? Look at the underlined words. Well, they're crying out for justice because God is justice. His attribute is justice, among other great things. But you know what? Here's what they're crying. They're crying out for justice. That means they have memory of how they died. They have memory of how they died. Meaning that we're likely to have memory of how we died. Memory in heaven to also recognize friends and people. And there's a lot of text behind that. A lot of text behind that. But this memory, these tribulation saints, it's like, where's their body? When are they going to get the glorified body like when Jesus came to rapture? Because this is happening later. And the church is already gone. Daniel 7:22. We'll speak of that if you want to write that down. Daniel 7:22. We'll speak of that very beautifully. Finally, after Jesus' resurrection, he makes one of many appearances. Check this out. Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. They have him, they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Eating in heaven. Eating glorified body. I mean, that's what Jesus modeled. He didn't say, but I'm going to eat, you guys are not. My grandparents told me that years and years ago. This is for the adults. But I like chocolate too. You know, and it just didn't work out sometimes. Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. There's that bad hand model. But look at this. Maybe poking you? Maybe touching you? I mean, touch, that's... You know what I'm saying? I mean, we're going to have some neat features. We're going to have responsibilities in heaven. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We'll talk about it in the weeks to come. Last slide. Can we get our music team to come up, please? Last slide. Romans 8. As our music team gets ready to play, I want you just to think about one thing. Romans 8, 17 and 18. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. So this is the expectation. As we go and have glorification take place in our body, in our life, to be forever perfect and to reign with him and to be closer to Jesus than ever, ever, ever in our life, the intimacy will be profound. He says, right now, you're supposed to be suffering for me. It's the expectation. Right now, you're supposed to be suffering for me. How are we suffering for our faith? It's like, justification means I don't have to suffer for my faith. No, 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 no. Justification means you get to go be with Jesus declared not guilty because of the work of Jesus. But if you look at the book of James, you're going to see that there's an expectation. Faith without deeds is dead. We don't want to walk around with a dead faith. Yeah, when's he coming back? Hey, everything's going to heck. Nothing's working out. It never does work out. Oh my goodness, life is just terrible. Lord, would you just come right now? It's not the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be vibrantly walking with Jesus, vibrantly having a relationship with Jesus Christ, hearing from the Holy Spirit, and then moving to touch others. And part of that will involve suffering. If you start to step out, you'll go, I'm suffering. I'm away from my family. I'm suffering. I'm giving resources that I'm taking away for these things that my family and I are saving for. This is the expectation. So if you would just think and pray and think. Jesus, we await glorification. And Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't know you as Lord, I pray, Lord, that they would not leave here without receiving you into their life and letting us lead them in the sinner's prayer to receive justification, because then sanctification can start to take place, being set apart for holiness, to be pleasing to you. If there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus, raise your hand and I'll lead everyone in a prayer and you can pray that prayer. Is there anyone here that doesn't know Jesus, that needs to know Jesus? So everybody's born again. Everybody has Christ. Everybody has a regenerated spirit. Everybody's a Christian. See, that comes by recognizing that you're a sinner and I'm a sinner. And Lord, we're sorry. And we receive your gift of eternal life into our hearts and minds. Lord, if there's anybody here that doesn't know what it is to suffer, this is a crazy prayer. But Lord, help people. Help Liz and I to see what suffering, what the benefits are. We've been going through some things the last couple weeks, and you're reigning supreme, Lord, reigning supreme. But that can only happen as we embrace you through the trial. And so if there's somebody that's having a trial, somebody that's starting to suffer, somebody that really needs help, would you slip up your hand? You need help? Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Anybody else? Okay, thank you. Jesus, I pray for those that are just suffering right now. And I pray that you would overcome in their life, that they could see victory, that we could look ahead beyond this idea that you might come back today, but that's enough. But as we see you deliver us in our current situation, Lord, we just marvel at the fact that you reign supreme in our life and that we are overcomers in you as you've given us faith to follow you in trial, knowing it's for our benefit. Bless those who raise their hand, Jesus, in your precious name.